Good morning, everybody, and thank you all so much for tuning in to the show on this lovely Monday. Ha ha, hee hee, and hoo hoo. Hope you all are doing well. I hope you guys enjoyed the double guests last week. We had two guests. Y'all believe that? Holy shit. I can imagine myself somewhere in the near future going ahead back to the two guests a week, getting rid of these solo episodes, seeing that nobody fucking listens to them. But it's okay. I do it anyway. I do it for the love. I do it for the love, man. I do it to be heard. I do it because it's fun. You know, sometimes we go through things. Some of those things teach us where our true potential lies. You know, there's so many people out there who are destined to be absolute shitbags, and they're still trying to do good. I don't understand. Just give in. Just give in. Be the asshole. It could be the biggest mistake in your life, not being a dickhead. I mean, go to the restaurant. Go and upset people. Upset people. I mean, if that is where your true calling is, you know, I think sometimes people have to go through stuff. Right? Sometimes you gotta figure something out. There has to be a defining moment. And for some people, that defining moment turns them into a monster. And I think that that's important. It's very, very important. Very important. Because if we don't have monsters, I mean, what is this world? Everybody's going to be excited all the time? Happy? Taken advantage of all the time? No. No, we need animals. We are animals. We need them. We got to keep that instinct. We got to keep it. Realize your true potential. Understand that your calling in this life could be, not saying it is, but could be to be an awful person. Do you think the people who are actually awful people, do you think they come to a... I'm only talking about this because it's kind of happening in my life. Not turning into an awful person. But, you know, realizing that there's more, realizing that there's other ways to make things happen. You know, we're always reevaluating. We're always re-something, right? And I was just thinking, you know, I don't know if I think I have a good amount of assholery in me. You know what I'm saying? Like a decent amount, a funny amount. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm funny about it. I'm not actually an asshole. You know, some people may think I am, which is fine. But now, do you think people who go on to do horrific, horrific things realize their true potential? And do you think that they realize it before or after they do their first horrific thing? Because I would think after, right? You do a good job, just like in The Joker, the newest Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix. Phenomenal film. I don't care how much of a douchebag he is to work with. But when he first kills that guy, when the Joker kills the guy who's making fun of him, or the kids actually in the subway, he kills him. And he realizes, he goes in the bathroom and he dances and he's like, this isn't bad. I wonder if that happens in real life. Or if like before they go and something happens, something goes haywire. And they're like, yes, this is going to be me. I will kill people. I will do it. It's important. It's important to have your shit in line. Sometimes we got to go through something. Sometimes something has to happen. Something has to hit us and say, hey, wake up. Stop being a lower version of yourself. Elevate. Elevate. Become something new. Rise from the ashes. If there's no ashes, how are you to rise? It's an interesting concept. I think that's a Nietzsche quote. And I've been listening to a lot of George Carlin, going back to my roots as a child. I used to listen to George Carlin all the time. I used to listen to his phenomenal rants about people who should be killed and words that don't make any sense and just this nihilistic, negative way of looking at society, but also hilarious, right? It's funny to me. That shit is funny. It makes sense that I am the person that I am now because a lot of that shit that I listened to as a child has just bled bled through. Like, that's what the fuck I am now. It's true. A lot of the shit you go through as a kid, or a lot of the shit you indulge or consume as a kid, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. A lot of people will say, you know, that's, oh, that's just a little three-year-old girl. If you beat your, you know, you beat your spouse in front of it, in front of her, she, you know, it won't make any effect. Won't do any effect. She'll forget all about it. Forget, I should just forget about it. She'll just, it'll disappear. She'll forget about it. Don't worry about it. She's just three. She's just three. Just 3 years old. She's just in her incredibly delicate formative years to becoming a human being. It's okay. It's all right. It is okay. She is just three. Do whatever. Do your worst. Do your worst in front of a three-year-old child. They will forget it. I've heard people say that. I've heard police officers say that. Oh, she'll be fine. She'll be fine. The other ones, but that one, she'll be okay. She'll be okay. A little older, it would be a problem. She doesn't know what's going on. She doesn't know what's going on. She doesn't know that the spoon is used for heroin. She doesn't know what heroin is. She doesn't know what it is. She'll never know what it is. She'll never know that the uncle that watches her does heroin in the bathroom. She'd have no idea. It'll never come back up in her life. No shot. I'm here to tell you that that is a lie. Because as a child, I watched a lot of George Carlin. And now I have a Nietzsche quote on my ribs as a grown person. Right? To live is to suffer. To survive is to find the meaning in the suffering. Imagine an 18-year-old kid wants that tattooed on them. That's me, motherfucker. That's me. I wanted that. It was really because I heard it in a DMX song. And I thought it sounded cool. And I made sense of it. And I still think it's cool. You know what I'm saying? I still, you know, there's no surprise that I like Camus and Kafka and Nietzsche and that type of shit. Because that's what I listen to. Growing up, that's what I listen to. I listen to George Carlin, who is just a extension of that. Just an extension of that. You know, mixed with a little anarchy and just hilarity, just funny. That shit is funny to me. I listened to an interview with him, and he was talking about how the human race is just shit to bed, and how he's taking a backseat view, and he just watches, and, you know, whatever, and it helps him be creative and that type of thing. And and they asked him, they're like, do you think there's anything we can do as a race? And he said, well, I think immense bloodshed, extreme bloodshed will do it. Extreme bloodshed. And I said, wow, that is fucking hilarious. It's probably true, but it is hilarious. Like, that's just funny to me. That's just funny. And, like, I was listening to him again, and, you know, he started to get more and more and more edgy and angry and angsty as he got older. So some of his older, like his last like four or five specials, he's just mad and he's talking about a whole bunch of different things. And I was like, wow, there is nobody that does this. Like, you can get the edgiest comedian right now. Big Jay Oakerson, Tim Dillon, fucking Miss Pat, Joey Diaz. You can get any of them, the edgiest comedian. And nobody is doing it like George Carlin. Nobody's doing it in a way that convinces you like George Carlin. Nobody. He's convincing everybody up there that he is genuinely angry about people who pay for Tic Tacs with credit cards. And I'm sure he is. That's the thing, is I'm sure he was very angry about that shit. And it's insane because, like, we listen to stuff now. And we might go, ho, ho, wow, he's riding the line there. Whoa, ho, ho, ho. He said gay in a funny context. That might come back to bite him. Uh-oh, he said retarded. Oops. George Carlin said anything he wanted. Talking about people getting killed. Talking about when he had the bit where he's talking about people who let their children record the answering machine outgoing message or whatever the fuck. And he goes, yeah, you now I got to listen to a little 12-year-old girl. And he goes, here's my message, Cindy or whatever the fuck the name was. He's like, I'm going to come to your house with a really big knife, and I'm going to kill mommy and daddy. And I'm going to pull out my huge ding-dong and put it in your dude. And I was like, damn. Damn. Like now, even listening to it as an adult and just in the society we're in, like the only person that's going to get past that is a guy like George Carlin. In a culture like this, nobody. I mean, there's people doing it. Don't get me wrong. There's edgy comedians. There's it like I just mentioned. I just mentioned him. Mark Norman, another one who's edgy. You know, Shane Gillis. Like, these guys are hilarious, and it's because they're doing these crazy, I guess, just they have these outlandish ideas about things. And it's very much creative. There's a lot of it that's creative. And it's just an interesting thing. It's a very, very interesting thing with those guys they could do up there doing stuff. But yeah. Yeah, sometimes, you know, we got to go through some shit. Got to go through some shit. Know what I'm saying? We're all porta potty cleaners. We're all the people that dump out porta potties. That is our job as humans, is to go through shit. It really is. I mean, we would have never evolved, you know, if we didn't go through shit. There's, you know, it's a lot of stuff. It's stuff that we don't get prepared for. You know, everyone thinks it's so easy. Oh, it's just easy. Life is easy. Including myself. You know, I'm young. I'm 24. There's times where I find myself saying, wow, you know, what is this real world bullshit? You know, and it's a real thing. It is a real thing. When teachers say, wait till you get out in the real world, wait. And you think you're a smart kid. We're in the real world. Yeah, you dumb motherfucker. Wait till you got decisions to make. Wait till fear starts to creep in, right? Remember when you were a kid? Nothing scared you. You go ahead, you compete. You go and dance in front of people and sing and scream. Nothing mattered. And that's the biggest thing, is when you get older, regardless of how you were before, shit matters. More matters. And it's so weird. No matter how much you try to play it off. Well, when I was a kid, I used to do this and, you know, I didn't really care. And now I'm, you know, I'm not going to do that. And as an adult, you know, I'm going to look stupid. People are going to, you know, fuck that. Fuck all that shit, man. Fuck all that shit. We tell ourselves all the time. We talk ourselves out of the greatest things that we could do. Some of the greatest stuff. You never know. You never know that there's a decision that you could make that could absolutely change the trajectory of your life. And you're just fucking it off. And I'm not here shitting on you guys. I'm also talking about myself. There's plenty of stuff that we look at, we look on, and we got to just change. We got to change what the fuck we're doing, you know? For example, I'm wrestling with the idea of putting obsessive aggression on the shelf for a while. You know, the site will always be up. I'll always promote it on here. But in terms of really building it, you know, it might have to take a back seat. Because as I had alluded to before, there's some other stuff I'm working on. In the shadows, in the bat cave, you know what I'm saying? There's some stuff that I'm working on, and it's gonna take over obsessive aggression, very much so. I think there's signs. I'm not a huge believer in signs, except for very, very recently. Like, there's been. It's more or less been linked to the stuff that I've been working on. And, you know, sometimes you just got to read them. You got to read what the fuck is going on. And sometimes there is some bad shit going on and you need to switch it. And there's signs in place. You know, for example, I don't love talking about the restaurant industry as much as I do on here. But I had an encounter this past weekend that has really, really enlightened me. It has very much enlightened me, and it's gotten me to the point where I need to get out of that industry. Like, I need out of it. Like, I don't have much longer in there. Like, not at all. Not at all. Now, I'm talking a few months, and I need to be out of the industry as much as possible. It's a cult. It is such a fucking cult, and it's a tough one to escape because of the money, the hours, the bullshitting. Like, and I'm realizing that some of that stuff isn't worth it anymore. Now, don't get me wrong. You're not going to see me run into an office and switch all that shit up. No. Complete opposite. Very much the opposite. And I'm just... the reason why I'm not talking about what it is I'm working on is because it's something that I've been scared of. It's something that I've been scared to do. And I haven't been so scared to do something, which means I probably should go do it. I was never, you know, nerves, sure. Nerves happen all the time. But in competition, I get nerves, but I wasn't scared. You know, I'd go out and fight somebody. It's cool. Fought a guy on 30 minutes notice. Wasn't scared at all. You know, wrestling competition, karate. When I played football as a kid, all the sports, never cared. You know, you get older, you get wiser. Other things start to, you realize when, you know, some shit goes wrong, this happens and you feel this way. So it's nothing for us to beat ourselves up about. Unless you want to, because sometimes beating yourself up is nice. Sometimes it's nice to just stare at a wall with a blank space and just berate yourself in your head, huh? Isn't it good sometimes? Doesn't it feel nice to just lay into yourself, yeah? Every once in a while. Every once in a while, we need to berate ourselves, you know? Just for entertainment value, just pure shock. Shock and awe at the fact of some of the things that you can come up with regarding yourself. You know, it's an interesting thing when you make a decision. When you really make a decision, and when you realize there's something you have to do, something that you must take part in. You have to, or else it'll eat at you. Eat at you every day like a parasite, like a disease. Ugh. Like a disease, just like a flesh-eating virus. Just eat away at your skin, your layers, and then it'll get into your muscle tissues and fibers and ligaments. Soon it's in the bones, and by then it's like, oh, you're a drug addict by that point. You're on meth, where you feel it in your bones, and your drug is ignoring. Ignorance. That's a drug. Ignorance. Blissful ignorance for some people. For others, it's just ignoring. Let me put that at the back of my mind forever. Forever. And then when you're laying in that bed and your family members around you, or they're not, right? Maybe you lived a shitty life and your family doesn't care if you live or die. But you're in that bed, or you're in that, you know, you're on that ground somewhere and you're staring up saying, this is my last moments here. These are my last moments here. And I never did that shit that I ignored forever. All I did, my existence on this planet, was me ignoring everything that my senses were telling me to do. Me ignoring the signs. Me ignoring my burning desire to try it. But what I didn't ignore was my fear, right? Is that what you want? Is that what you want? Laying in bed all wired up, ready to check out, ready to go on the biggest trip. That's why they save it for last. That's a Charlie Sheen quote. Most magnificent trip. They save it for last, you know? Interesting way to look at it. But is that what you want? I ignored everything but my fear. I was a scaredy cat. All I was a scaredy cat. My whole life, I was just nervous, scared. And that's it. Boom. You're done. Out. Gone like nothing ever happened. Just like before you were born. And now I'm not here to say, oh, you got to leave your mark. You got to do this. You got to come out. And no. I'm not saying that at all. I don't care if I'm remembered by anybody other than the people who I care about and I know care about me. If anything else happens, that's all extracurricular activity, okay? That's all background noise, academic. You feel me? It's all nothing I care about. What I do care about, on the other hand, is not letting thoughts and feelings, negative ones, control me. But at the same time, you can't be all positive. You can't. I mean, you can't. I'm here to tell you that you cannot do it. Because who wants to? Who really wants to? Who wants to be positive all the time? Don't you want to get angry at things? Sometimes it's good to shit on the person in front of you that's driving real slow, right? Isn't it good to assume that maybe they're driving slow because they work at a menial job where they're embarrassed and they're treated like shit by their boss? Isn't it fun to think about that? Or maybe they have to get home to an abusive household. Isn't that good? So they're taking their time. Yeah. Sometimes it's good to get angry and shit on other people. Make you feel better. Yes. People don't talk about that. People only want to be nice. They only talk about the positives of being nice and the negatives of being mean. They never talk about the negatives of being nice and the positives of being mean. Sometimes you just feel good to say, hey, you stupid bitch. Hey, you stupid. How did we get in this line at the supermarket that we've both been waiting in for 15 minutes and you forgot five things in the store? How are they not in your carriage? How did you not realize this whole time until you got to the front? She wrung out all 62 other items and you said, wait a second. Oh, no. We're low on TV dinners, dog food, lemon-scented toilet paper, mouthwash, and tampons. Fuck. Kumquats. We gotta get kumquats, son of a bitch. How do you forget that? How? I mean, you have to have dementia. I don't care if you're 41. You have the brain of a dementia patient. You have to be dumb. You have to be stupid. Right? I don't know. Sometimes it's nice. That's all I'm saying. Sometimes it's nice to be mean. Sometimes you got to have a little negativity, right? How are you supposed to be funny? How are people who are positive all the time, how are they funny, right? How can they be funny? You can roast somebody and they'll be like, ha ha, yeah. Well, I bet that guy has, that guy's in good shape, right? Ha 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 ha. No, nobody wants to hear that. Even if the guy is in good shape, better shape than me, better shape than I'll ever be in. You got to make fun of them. That's what's funny. Negative people are funny sometimes. Right? Ha ha. I think there's a good balance. I'm not saying it should be 50-50, right? 50% negative might be a little too much for some of us to handle. You know, plus we got to be bearable. We got to bear ourselves. We got to bear the people around us. We got to understand. We got to have knowledge of self and understand that our negativity might be too much. But in some situations, shitting on people's good. Shitting on people is nice. Being angry, you know. I mean, Miles Davis made it a whole aesthetic to be mean or to be mad and cool. Cool and mad almost became synonymous, right? Look in the movies or in the portrayals of cool guys, they're all angry. They all got something, a chip on their shoulder. They got a little edge to them. Know what I'm saying? I don't know. It's what it is. You follow what I'm saying? It's what the fuck it is. But yeah, sometimes there's just, we don't know what we don't know until we know it. Then we know what we don't know, and we have the opportunity to know. This is a tough episode to get out because I don't have too much to say to you guys today. Sometimes I come on and I'm able to riff and raff and go bananas on here. Today is not one of those days. You know, a lot of the stuff that I want to talk about, I've spoken about on here already, and I don't feel like boring you guys with more shit about the restaurant industry That's why I spoke about it very briefly on here. I had a real shitty weekend when it comes to that, when it came to work, you know, and they're getting worse and worse, which is why I'm saying I got to get out of the industry. But, you know, I guess I wanted to come on here and kind of talk about realization and understanding when it's time to switch gears and to not be nervous to switch gears, no matter how much you, like, for example, obsessive aggression. I spent a whole bunch of money. I got I don't know, 55 pairs of gloves here. Nobody's buying them. Nobody's whatever. It's probably on me as well, right? To do two things at once, two completely different things, an entertainment outlet, creative outlet, and then a business. They're completely opposite things. So to go back on that, you know, to say, hey, let's give it a break for a little bit. It takes a lot. It takes a lot for a lot of us to switch gears. It's the same thing as somebody who's worked, you know, they got a real good job, some kind of a firm, right? Nobody ever knows. A firm is just a universal word for people who have adult jobs, grown-up real jobs, right? I work at a firm. Oh, you know, firm. I work at a firm. We don't know what the firm. Oh, you know, we're at the firm. I got my office in the firm. Yeah, good. That's great. That's what I love to hear, firm. Nice. I'll give you something firm. You can hold on to it firmly. But no, it's like the same thing. Somebody that's worked somewhere for a long time and they're nervous to switch because they don't want to do it anymore. They don't know what they can do. They don't know what their other options are. Explore other options. That's the other thing. You should never be, well, I don't want to say never because that's not true. Never and always aren't real things. But to be tied down is a great fear of mine, you know? Get a job and have it be consistently, you know, have it be consistent over the years and all that stuff. That's nice. That's great. And eventually I may have to look into that as an older person. But, I mean, that shit's not for me. It's not. You know? It's not. And for a guy like me, I'm always looking for other options, always looking for a new job, always looking for something else, different opportunity to make what I actually want to do happen. And that's what I'm going through right now. That's what I'm going. I got to change my schedule up. Can't be working nights anymore. Weekends could still be a possibility, but nights, it's time to change. It's time to change things up. It really is. So don't be nervous. Don't be worried to switch paths and double back on things. You know, there's a fight that we have with ourselves. Oh, I'm quitting. I'm giving up too early. Versus, I got to switch things up. There's like a very fine line. For some of us, it's hard to determine. It's hard to distinguish which side is what. What the fuck do we want to do? Do we want to stick this out forever and see, you know, so many years down the line where we've came? Or do we put it on the back burner for now, maybe revisit it and do something else that we've wanted to do? So that's a lot where my head is right now. As you guys know, I share this stuff with you because I hope some of y'all can relate. That's all I'm on this motherfucker for. Sometimes I'm funny. I have cool guests. I have interesting people. But when it's just me and you, I'm trying to relate. There's so much in between us, right? Between me, I'm sitting in my house in Providence, Rhode Island, talking to myself, essentially, just looking at a camera. I'm just looking at a camera, and somehow everybody that listens to this is going to hear it, and there has to be a way to connect. We'll start off by saying music connects us more than anything, right? You could say art, but music is the number one, right? Because nobody cares about artists and plays and, you know, that type of shit. It's songs. When a song comes out, everybody gets up, moves, dances, monstrous stadiums, right? Elton John is doing a farewell tour. Like, everybody in that stadium is going to be jamming. You know, songs come on, people are, yeah. And that's just what it is. It brings people together. It brings people together very well. And I'm basically the Elton John of podcasts. That's what I'm trying to do. I mean, this is ultimately a creative outlet. It's different. I don't know if you'd call radio a creative outlet, because it's not necessarily, I mean, there's conversation to be had, but it's not looked so much as creative. It's more like entertainment, where I see this as entertainment, but it's also more or less creative, right? It's like a companion type thing. I talk about all the time how it's just a replacement for people who don't get to do some of these things. You know, they don't get to speak to interesting people, or they don't have the time or the means to sit down with their friends on often and talk and have fun and whatever. So they listen in. They want to hear what's going on my end or on some other person's end, you know? And that's cool. That's cool, because without that, I would have no... This is literally my only direction right now, is this podcast. It's my only solid direction. Fuck this fucking microphone. Always turning. I apologize for the noise, people. There we go. No matter where I move this thing, it gets fucked up. God damn it. But anyway, without this, I would be in so much more of a panic. I'm already in a, I'm naturally in a perpetual state of panic all the time. Every day I think I'm going to be nothing, and every day I think I'm going to this, and I have insecurities and all this stuff. We all do. But, you know, some of it's more rampant than others. But yeah, I'm starting to lose my train of thought, starting to ramble on over here to get to the mark that I like to get at with you guys. But no, this is not going away. I might smash this microphone against the wall though. But no, this isn't going away, guys. The podcast is here to stay. I'm in this for the long haul. Very much so. I'm in this for a long time. I enjoy it. I want to make this something. This is something. This is a tangible something that I'm working on. And I can see the future on this, which is important. The everyday stuff is important, but it's also important to maintain a vision of the future. And I don't know if I saw the future with obsessive aggression. Maybe I did. I don't know if I see it anymore, you know, which is why it's going on the back burner in replacement of some other stuff. But that's what it is, guys. I guess this episode turned into something. Ho, 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 ho. I had some stuff I wanted to talk about. I talked about it. I refrained from boring you guys with more restaurant stuff, because I know you guys are sick of hearing me complain about that. I don't want to be like my mom or other people who don't enjoy their job, who bitch about it all the time and complain, take a shot anytime they mention their job. I don't want to partake in that at all. I don't think we should talk about our jobs at all. Good, bad, how we feel about them. It don't matter. Nobody cares. But that's it, guys. I am done here. I hope you guys have a great rest of your Monday. Thank you all for starting out with us. If you like it, subscribe, comment, like, share, fucking follow the show wherever you listen. Follow me and my social media. And even though it's on the back burner, people, the gloves are still for sale. So obsessiveaggression.com if you still need some 16-ounce boxing gloves. Don't be afraid. You just won't see me, you know, spending a whole lot of money or time into the marketing aspect of it. Maybe. We'll fucking see, guys. Life is about taste, test, touch. You got to do a little bit of everything. So that's it, guys. I'm done. Talk to you guys on Thursday with hopefully a lovely episode. Peace.